from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to focus your attention especially on the central portion of the assigned pericope for this morning, just read to you, especially verses 5, 6, and 7. The apostle reminds his Christian readers that they have been granted an exceeding great promise in Jesus Christ, their Lord, by which they can become partakers of the divine nature, since they have escaped through this redemption in Christ from the corruption which is in this world. And then he adds, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Advent King, dear friends, not far from Mexico City, in the area that is so rich in archaeological finds of the ancient Indian cultures, there is a place called Cholula, and there are archaeological remains of a religious center which survives under quite a number of different cultures and civilizations. For it is there that the Aztecs had one of their main centers of their religious practices, and before them the Toltecs worshipped the god of Quetzalcoatl. And before that the Olmecs, even lesser known people, also had a religious center there. When the Spanish conquistadors arrived there, they saw a huge pyramid-like structure around which there were 400 temples and shrines. This was one of the main areas of Aztec worship, in which they also carried on these enormous human sacrifices. And presumably in an attempt to obliterate even the very memory of all this pagan worship that dripped with human blood, the Spanish conquistadors got a lot of labor recruited and destroyed the temples and the shrines, but the big stone pyramid defied destruction, and so they simply heaped up piles and piles of soil till they finally had the huge pyramid hid under an artificial mountain. Then they proceeded to build churches. And their main church was built right on top of the earth mound that hid the original pyramid. And they built several hundred shrines and churches round about imitating the old circle of pagan temples and shrines. The archaeological studies that have been conducted there have already greatly increased the information that scholars have about these ancient cultures and religions. But that's not my purpose for citing this today. Rather, a pyramid like that one and many others that we know about, not only in Mesoamerica, but also in Egypt and in other places of the world, they give the impression of great solidity, very careful design, and extreme durability. And it is in this sense that I incorporate this concept into the theme for our meditation this morning, when I summarize for you the exhortation of the apostle in our text to build pyramids of perfection. Pyramids of perfection. The apostle reminds his Christian readers that God in Christ already has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through him who has called us to glory and virtue, through all of which there are given to us great and precious promises that by these we must become partakers of the divine nature and escape from the corruption that is in the world round about. And then, besides this, he exhorts his leaders, now, be sure that you also give diligence or pay good attention to the need to add to your faith this year. First of all, I would like to emphasize that this expression, which is translated to pay diligence to or pay heed, implies the payment of an excruciatingly large amount of money. In that sense, it was used of the ancient Greek phrase for the sponsors to put out large amounts of money to pay for the special quality. Now, this is probably what the apostle had in mind when he emphasizes actually that we should not spare any cost, not spare any cost to be concerned about building up this sequence of Christian virtues that, in another way, also can be called the fruit of the Spirit. And this is of what that pyramid of perfection must be built up with. First of all, in the English translation that most of us have become used to in years past, this first word is translated as virtue. Arete in Greek is a concept which the classical writers use for any kind of a positive, good quality in anything. It is really the opposite of shabbiness. Now, this is certainly a foundation for this pyramid of perfection that the apostle urges Christians to build in their lives. Quality. There should be goodness here at the base of it, as opposed to shabbiness. Christians are people that have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been given the gift of this new image of God, which has been restored in us. And that is what adds quality to the being and to the work and to the life of the Christian, on which all other of these gifts of the Spirit should be based. Next, to which you add knowledge, says the apostle. Knowledge, gnosis, is more than simply head knowledge, but it is an understanding in the broader dimension of what God has done for his creatures. What the apostle is getting at here is very apropos for our time. We should not be simplistic in our faith, but we should have a deep and a broad knowledge of God's work in creation and in the history of the world. And then he says, through knowledge, God's temperance. This is really self-control. And if there is any quality that a pastor or any worker in the kingdom of Christ needs, it is self-control in your dealing with unbelievers and with ailing and troubled Christians. You must be the one who is anchored down at the main mast of the ship of the church. You must be the one who maintains his equilibrium and stability when all else is shaking and uncertain. And then to temperance or self-control adds a perseverance. And that certainly goes together with the third gift of the Spirit, or fruit of the Spirit that we just alluded to as self-control. Perseverance grows out of this self-control that can be instilled by the Spirit of God in our hearts. It is staying power that we don't give up when the first witness or the first attempt to convert someone misfires, when we try to encourage someone and it doesn't take. Staying power is what keeps us at the task of serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the apostle adds godliness or piety. And that's a concept with which every Christian is very familiar, I'm sure, often used in the scriptures. That simply is conforming our lives to God's holy will. And certainly, workers in the church dare not neglect this particular fruit of the Spirit in our own lives and in our own work. We have had five qualities here that the apostle urges us to build up as a way of escaping from the corruption which is in this evil world. And then he adds two more, brotherly love and also love, agape, or self-sacrificing love. Now it is an amazing observation that we can make that in the history of the church, as in the history of the Aztecs and the Toltecs down in Mother America, many people give up at this point. And if you look at the current issue of National Geographic, which just very fortuitously has a major feature article on the archaeology of Central Mexico, although this particular area that I alluded to is not mentioned as far as I can see. But it shows pictures of the ancient Aztec and Toltec pyramids, which, unlike those built in Egypt, were stone. It is as if they had a limit for the last 2 years. When we study ship history, we find that all too many shipmen end the building program of their own pyramids of perfection right there. And what do they do? They make pyramids of power out of the blocks that they have put together so far. In the Mesoamerican religious heritage, and the Scarab pyramid, that's where the human sacrifices were carried out. In fact, National Geographic has a very lurid picture showing the blood flowing. When the conquistadors arrived, they reported that at one time there were so many human victims lined up that a line of human beings waiting there to be sacrificed to the gods of the Aztecs was over a mile long. The archaeologists have a figure that they advanced that at one time between 10 and 80,000 human sacrifices were offered on the Scarab pyramids. We have people who claim to be Christian who sacrifice their co-workers like that. But this is not building a pyramid of perfection. Have you ever seen anybody try to climb up a big pile of coal where you see it unloaded from the ship with these huge cranes? As steep as it will tall, anybody who dares climb up there will go down in an avalanche of cascading coal and probably be killed. In contrast to that, a real pyramid of perfection has its architecture filled out with these two virtues that can be translated as love, but which the original very carefully delineates. One is brotherly love, concern for our fellow human beings, and the other is agape, self-sacrificing love, with which the translators have some difficulty. But the kind of love that God showed to us, miserable, lost, condemned sinners, when he gave his only begotten Son to die for us, so that all those who should believe in him should have eternal life. This is the pyramid of perfection that the apostle exhorts us to build with these spiritual gifts, or the work of the Holy Spirit in us, these Christian virtues that culminate in this perfection of imitation of the self-sacrificing love of God in our lives Council has some rather pungent exhortation yet, which follows in the parenthesis which was read here. The Christians who don't try to build up this kind of a pyramid of perfection are actually pretty naive. And he says that they are just plain blind yet in their Christian life. So, on the basis of the faith which God has worked in our hearts, by which he has assured us of these exceeding great promises, let us then add to that faith in Christ, also virtue of goodness, let us add knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and also quality of godliness and brotherly love as well as self-sacrificing love. Then we shall stand on a pyramid of perfection, worked in us by God's Holy Spirit himself, and which by which we can rise above the corruption which is in this world. May God grant us this, especially in this new Advent time, as we come to worship our newborn Savior in Bethlehem. In his name we pray. Amen.